Title of our thoughts tonight, The Slippery Slope. You've all heard that term before. The slippery slope of compromise. Ken Ham writes, quote, "Oh, how I despair that much of the church has not taken heed to Galatians 5:9. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." The lump of compromise is a major contributing factor to why we see such an alarming generational exodus from the church and increasing numbers of lukewarm churches and Christian organizations compromising on issues such as marriage and sexuality. What we need is an emphasis on challenging God's people to stand uncompromising on God's word from the very first verse, and for the church to return to the absolute authority of the word of God and the vital foundation history of Genesis 1 through chapter 11. We have always warned God's people that unlocking the door of compromise in Genesis leads to that door being opened more and more in subsequent generations. We need to remember that contaminated salt is no longer good for anything. Unquote. The book of Matthew chapter 5, we'll begin reading at verse 13. Matthew 5:13. "Ye are the salt of the earth." Now that's a simple statement, isn't it? You know, how many times have you heard a missionary or a pastor say, we need to be salt and light, or light and salt. And here Jesus is saying, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come this evening and to sing these songs of praise, Lord, to watch a couple of video episodes of your creation power. Lord, we pray now that you would just have your hand upon the message as we proclaim it. Lord, be with the Covenant Baptist Church. Be with decisions that have to be made in the next few weeks and months. Lord, we ask that your will be done, and we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. If you would, the book of Genesis, chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, we'll read verses 1 through 7. The slippery slope of compromise. And do you find it interesting that man has decided, God, you need to compromise? Now that's kind of interesting, isn't it? He is the creator. He is the one that has made all things. He has a plan and a purpose. And we say to him, your ways are wrong, Lord. You need to compromise. And that's sad, but that is what is happening with our social gospel today. But verse 1, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived, and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground." Now, is there anything wrong with what Cain did for a livelihood? Not a thing, unless all he made was Brussels sprouts, peas, and, you know, those type of things, lima beans, right? But the fact is, there was nothing wrong with what he did. Verse 3 says, and in the process of time, it's amazing how we get the wrong thing in our heads and we ponder it. And the longer we ponder it, the more we believe we're right. And in the process of time, notice, that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Now, is that what the Lord wanted? No matter how good the fruit was or how good the vegetables were, it was not what God wanted. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect, period. God said no. Isn't it amazing how we will argue with God? Notice what it says. And Cain was very wroth. With whom was he angry? Was he angry with Abel or Adam or Eve? Who was he angry with? He was angry with God. He said, God, you can't tell me I can't do this. This is what I want to do. It says, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? We should be glad for the mercy of God. We should be glad that God is willing to have patience, but his patience will run thin. His patience will end. There will come a time in which he will say, enough is enough. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Because he was angry with God, he went out and killed his brother. Down the slippery slope of compromise. And in the process of time, it's amazing how we will get angry about something and we build it up. And then we want other people to feel that, well, you've been mistreated. We say here that Cain was not respected for his offering. You know, it's one thing to be religious. It's another thing to be right with God. You know, we can be religious. Man has been religious for centuries, for millennia. He's been religious. He's worshiped everything from the planets and the sun and the moon and the trees and the rivers. He's worshiped. There has been religion. Even in Christianity, there is religion that isn't according to the word of God. The pressure is on. Social justice, or in other words, PC, being politically correct, is not interested in what is biblically right, but is right in the eyes of mankind. Remember the closing verse of the book of Judges. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Judges 21:25b. Compromise. Well, compromise, if you look it up on the thesaurus, has two areas of direction you can go in. Compromise, meaning finding a middle ground, granting concessions, give and take. There are times in our life in which we need to have compromise. There are times when you're at a four-way stop and you all got there at the same time. You know, you don't really know who should go next, but you don't just sit there for an hour. You compromise, and someone goes, right? And then you could proceed around. You know, at times there must be compromise. But then there's the other direction compromise goes in, to jeopardize, to endanger, to discredit, to risk, to tarnish one's image. Can I say this, that born-again believers are not called on to compromise with the world? Jesus Christ never compromised. He didn't tell the woman taken in adultery, well, you know, I understand why you're doing it. Go ahead and do it. Is that what he said? What did he say? Go and sin no more. Was there any compromise there? No. And see, mankind today wants to say, well, it's okay. You know, it's not hurting anybody. Can I tell you this? Sin always hurts somebody. It always does. You may not see it, but it does happen. Then we come to the word leaven. Webster's dictionary says to raise with a leaven. to mingle or permeate with some element, a substance as yeast used to produce fermentation in dough or a liquid, something that modifies. Galatians chapter 5, if you would, please. Galatians 5. And we find that today's society, they want us to compromise. They want us to be willing to give in to their ways of thinking. Chapter 5 of Galatians, beginning at verse 7, says, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" Now, who is Paul writing to here? Now, I know it's to the churches in Galatia, but to whom is he writing? To believers. He's not writing to lost people, is he? He's writing to believers who are interested in living righteous lives. And he says, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." Ye did run well. You know, that's sad. You know, I was thinking the other day about a person that had been on a diet. Don't you hate that word? Someone has clearly said it's a four-letter word. Yes, dare I eat that? Yes. But you know, there have been times you've seen people lose weight and they've lost a great amount of weight, right? And things were going well, and then what happens? It's hard, isn't it? Tell me about it. I know I've lost weight hundreds and hundreds of times. You know? Paul is giving us the idea of men running a race, each in their own assigned lane. When there is cross country, there is just a path. But if you're running a 100-yard dash, they don't call them 100-yard dashes, do they? 100 yards, it's now meters, 100-meter dash. They're in a lane. They have to stay in their lane. And sometimes one would leave his lane to cause another to get out of his lane. Thus, both would be disqualified. Have you ever noticed that there are some people in the media that excuse the wrongdoers? They say it's okay. But if more conservative people do it, they jump all over them and just go after them over and over and over again. They allow the one, but not the other. Paul indicates that the Judaizers had done this to the Galatian believers. They cut in on them and forced them to change direction and go on a spiritual detour. I thought that was a good thought, though it's a bad thing. But there are many people, even in today's world, that are on a spiritual detour. I was talking to a pastor in a local church this morning, and we were talking about the coronavirus and the issues around it and church attendance. And how there are people right now who are on a spiritual detour. They have drifted away from the church and from the Word of God. And they need to get back to the teachings of the Word of God. It was not God who did this, because He had called them to run faithfully in the lane marked grace. Folks, we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. We need to follow Him. And we don't want it said of us, "Ye did run well." What happened? He then goes from athletics to cooking, introducing the idea of leaven or yeast. In the Old Testament, leaven is generally pictured as a symbol of what? It's a four-letter word. It starts with E. Evil. It is generally pictured as a symbol of evil. During Passover, for example, what was not allowed in the house? Yeast, leaven, was not allowed in the house. Worshippers were not permitted to mingle leaven with sacrifices. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Jesus used leaven as a picture of sin when he warned against the leaven of the Pharisees. And so we're going to be here in Matthew 16. We're going to begin at verse 6. Matthew 16, verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have not or have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets he took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets he took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I speak it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not be aware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. You know, the Lord was concerned that they would go in the wrong direction concerning their spiritual walk. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were very legalistic. You had to do this and this and this, and if you did it all just right, God is going to take care of you in the future. But the fact of the matter is, we are not saved by works. We're saved by grace to do good works. Would you please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5? 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And Paul is chiding them because they have allowed certain fornication to continue in the church. And they've been puffed up because they said, well, okay, we can handle this. And beginning at verse 7, he says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So we need to make sure that we are right with God when it comes to our lifestyles. Warren Wiersbe writes, yeast is a really good illustration of sin. It is small, but if left alone, it grows and permeates the whole. The false doctrine of the Judaizers was introduced to the Galatian churches in a small way, but before long, the yeast grew and eventually took over. The spirit of legalism, or whatever false teaching it may be, does not suddenly overpower the church. Like leaven, it is introduced secretly. It grows and before long poisons the whole assembly. Unquote. Let me give you some of the leaven of our society. Evolution. You realize that there are a lot of churches that try to bring evolution into creation and saying that God used theistic evolution. Because they say science say that this is the way it is. Well, true science does not say that. True science shows, just like some of the movies we've seen here, that God did create some amazing things that could never have evolved. Well, we find that music style in our churches today is like leaven. It has taken our churches to be entertainment centers. And it has taken us in the wrong direction of not bringing glory to the Lord, but glory to man. It moves in the wrong direction. And even the Bible versions that we see in our society that have diluted the Word of God. Leaven that has worked its way in. Every believer has the responsibility to watch for the beginning of leaven in the church as well as in their own life. Because that first bit of yeast that infects the individual believer or the church fellowship will eventually grow into a serious problem. So in conclusion, the book of Ephesians chapter 4, we'll begin reading at verse 17. Watching out, being on guard. Every pastor that desires to be a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church is on guard, constantly wanting to make sure that leaven or sin does not creep in. And sadly, there are those who say, well, they're doing it at another church. Well, does that mean it's automatically right because it's being done at another church? We have to be careful because there is leaven that has grown in other churches to where it would be almost impossible to get it out. And that's sad. But let's begin reading in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. So in one sentence, what exactly is Paul saying here to these believers? That they're to be different, right? They should be different. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Folks, sin will blind our eyes, our spiritual eyes. And we must be careful that we do not allow sin to come in and disrupt a church. Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with what? Greediness. What I want. I want it. Greed gets in the way and it creates issues. Verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. This is not what the Lord wants. Verse 21, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know, when I first went to Texas and I got down there in what some call the Bible Belt, and you know, you think that these churches are all going to be stand up for Christ because they are, after all, in the Bible Belt. And yet I went to some churches there that I would not have known that they were actually churches because of all the men and women that were outside on the front steps doing what? Smoking. And I thought to myself, excuse me? Because I was always taught you don't. And here they were. See, what had happened is somebody said, I can't help myself. I've got to do it. You know, we have had people that have rushed out of our building seconds after the invitation is over so they can get outside and smoke. Is that the right way of living? No, they've allowed something to creep in and take over. And there are other things that creep in and they disrupt the Christian life. It says here, the former conversation of the old man. But verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying is a leaven. Does it come in the form of lying? What do lies lead to? More lies. Do you ever lie to yourself? Yeah, people lie to themselves on a regular basis. Yes. Put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. There is times in which you have to declare something is wrong. But you know, most of us don't like it if we're told that we're doing something wrong. Most of us don't like to be shown there are things the way we should do it a different direction. Even arguing with God. Neither give place to the devil. Isn't that what Cain did? He allowed Satan to get in and disrupt And you know, the sin of Cain did not just hurt him. Okay? Now, it had hurts in multiple directions. Abel was killed. Eve was bothered. Adam was bothered by the death of the son. But Cain's family suffered down through the years because they went in the wrong direction, because he wouldn't get it right. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. You know, the Lord believes that men should work. Working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Do you realize that it's a biblical thing to help out those in need? You know, many times we get angry and say, well, if they worked, well, sometimes they need something, even though things are not going in the direction that we would like them to go. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. No corrupt communication. We have to be careful how we speak, right? Absolutely. But then verses 30 through 32, as we read them, ponder this, that we are pushing out the leaven out of our lives. We're pushing it out and not allowing it to take control. Paul writing here says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. What grieves the Holy Spirit? Sin, iniquity, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Notice, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Push it out. Push it out. What have you noticed about dandelions? They come back. And you have to go at it again, don't you? Absolutely. You have to get it and rip it out by the roots. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. See, these aren't murders like Cain did. This isn't robbing like Achan did. These are things of the mind. These are things of attitude. These are things that control our thinking. Push it out. And in its place, verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The slippery slope that many of us begin to go down. But can I tell you something? Do you remember the story of Peter? When Peter began to go down and he called out for the Lord to help, did the Lord take his hand and push Peter down and hold him down? No, he reached down and pulled him up. And I say this to you tonight, if there is something that needs to be ripped out so that you are not drowning in one of these sins, God will reach down and he will help. He will pull us back up to the firm place that we need to be standing so that we're not sliding down that slippery slope of sin. Shall we close in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.